Okay, so now we're going to switch over to Isha Edwards with Epic Measures. Isha is an idea catalyst for individuals and organizations across 12 industries, including music, media, fashion, film, academia, professional services, nonprofit, and small business administration. Through Epic Measures, Isha provides brand-driven marketing, consulting, and business development services. Her skills and experience in business management, business education, and marketing communications enables her to implement a practical, comprehensive approach to establishing, operating, and growing a business. Welcome to the show, Isha.
Thank you for having me here. I'm very excited to be here.
Well, good. We're excited to have you. We love talking about all things business, especially topics like branding. So that's important for everybody. And that's what our conversation is going to be about today. Branding is an essential part of marketing a good or service or even a person. Long before becoming a household name was the end thing to aspire to, companies took pride in their products, stellar customer service, and was a vital part of the brand experience. So were value-added incentives. Today's economic malaise has led to a series of shortcuts for product brands, all in the name of savings and continued profits. People brands are now more popular than product brands, yet struggle to maintain the key ingredient required to market effectively. What is the business of branding, Isha?
The business of branding is telling your story and telling it well, being consistent and making an impact with that brand, a lasting impression that people will remember, value, and appreciate.
There you go. Well, what exactly is branding from its original form to its current use? I think we kind of touched on it. Kind of people are branding themselves nowadays more.
Right.
But can you elaborate on that?
Before people began branding themselves, namely celebrities and personalities, there was a concept of branding things, namely animals and products like china or furniture or sadly even people physically, branding as a form of ownership to say that this belongs to me. I created this product, and as an owner, you have the right to come back to me to, you know, discuss any issues or basically be known as the owner of the product. As we've come into this global marketplace where it's a me society, you think of branding as an impression. How do you seal an image on a person without physically applying heat as you would?
We are not cows.
Exactly. That obviously is a painful process. So how do you seal an image? How do you get people to remember who you are? You have to do it through the physical process of branding or constantly giving people an image, a sound, or something that reflects who you are. So especially you talk about Atlanta and so many things going on here. You talk about Hollywood or New York is another place where there's constant images and sounds and experiences that people see all the time. Those are marketing impressions. How many times does somebody see who you are, see your logo, see your image? After a while, they're either going to get tired of seeing you and irritated and tune you out, which relates to ad fatigue, or they'll be compelled and interested in who you are and pursue your brand and the products that are associated with those brands.
Okay, so you talk about New York, L.A., and Atlanta is now the ATL.
The Hollywood South.
There you go. So that's kind of a branding switcheroo, wouldn't
Absolutely.
You say?
Yeah, and I wouldn't say it happened intentionally. It's just economically, Atlanta is a great place to work and do business, to relocate, to have family, to kind of have that mix between having a place to raise kids and then still have that city life, that fast paced opportunities to network and such. That's not necessarily relevant or doable in a New York or Chicago. Either in the city, going fast, working hard, and then you might go out to the suburbs to raise a family and have social gatherings and stuff. And here in Atlanta, you can kind of have the best of both worlds because you're not that far away from the city mecca, kind of, even if you're in Henry County or you're not, but maybe 20 minutes from any point from a suburban part of Atlanta to get to the city to do business, to work, and do the things that go on in a bustling city.
So that's how Atlanta has branded itself. What are some elements of a good brand?
Some elements of a good brand consist of the story that you have, if it's a compelling story, if it moves people to action. The other part of a good brand is the actual image, And most of the time people think of a brand as that logo that you see, because that's what they remember. They remember Nike. They remember Coca-Cola. If it's the shape of the bottle or if it's a Tiffany blue as in color, they remember a scent. So those are things that people associate with, because branding comes through your five senses.
Mm-hmm.
What you see, what you hear, what you feel. If you're able to target those five senses, then people will remember the things about your brand. So you want to have a brand that has a sense that can be personalized or be created. And that's where you talk about advertising and commercials and just some of the quirky things that people do with their brand during Super Bowl Sundays and those commercials that come up in between. Or you have celebrity endorsement or personality endorsements or brands that are more social and geared towards empowering people and communities, those touchy-feely brands, I call them. So you have to find a story that reflects your product. And then you have to find a way to tell that story using the five senses. And Hollywood does that really good when it comes to film and television and music, because you're sitting compelled or you're in a movie theater and you're just being inundated with content. All your senses are being impacted by the story. So what you do as a company is to try to create a story similar to a movie, your favorite movie, and use that as a marketing tool to get people to remember who you are, to embrace your story, and then more importantly, share your story.
And how would you recommend that people share their story? That kind of goes into marketing. So marketing versus branding, which is more important?
Marketing is the big umbrella for what I call the seven facets of business. And branding is really, it comes up under under marketing, but it's really a component of just doing business. To me, it's more important to create your story, to create the image before you market. And marketing are all the things that you would do to get your product out to the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
But from a traditional or academic standpoint, you talk about the four P's of marketing, which is product, price, promotion, and placement.
Mm-hmm.
And most of what marketing is the promoting side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's where you get the advertisement, the radio, the print publications, and that kind of thing. And a lot of times people go out there and they put a product on a marketplace and try to promote it without a story.
Mm-hmm. So really the branding
has to come first.
Right.
It's the horse. And the cart is just marketing.
They
push it across.
So how would you suggest an individual that's, because there is a lot of individuals establishing themselves as consultants in various fields, given the downturn of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
What would be some advice that you would give an individual that's trying to brand themselves?
Remain true to who you are as a person. I think it's very hard to brand people more than things, because people are moral. And things are not necessarily.
Well, so you don't know my friends. Just kidding.
Publicist nightmares to have a person brand that, you know, has a crisis and, you know, they're all over the media. You know, there's things that just, you know, so with a thing, a bottle can't do any harm.
Mm-hmm.
Without a person behind it, obviously. But mm-hmm. the thing itself can't do any damage, but a person, because what they say, what they do, what they think, what they feel, and those change based on what we feel like every day. So you have to be able to create a story that's consistent with who you are as
mm-hmm.
a person. And that way you don't get into situations where you're compromising either your faith or your personality or the things that are not true to you. I think with younger brands, particularly young artists, run into this conflict because they're still maturing as a person. You know, if they start their artistry really young in their preteens and so, and then they go on, by the time they're 21, if it's a male, you know, their voices are deeper. If they're female, their bodies are different. Their mindset is different. Their experiences are different. So how they started would naturally change. Same thing for a youth, a young adult, or a seasoned adult. You have to know who you are, what is valuable to you, what strengths you bring to the table, so that anytime you tell your story, it's consistent with who you are. And that way, when there's conflict, if there's, you know, some type of interview question or a product that somebody says, well, we want you to sell this for us. And you're like, how much is tied to that? $2.5 million. And you're like, okay, you'll do it because of the money versus doing it because that's not my moral background. That's not who I am. That's not what I support. So it's really important for a person to be consistent with their story.
Is branding something you need a lot of money in order to do it right?
No, especially in this environment where you have social media, Twitter, Facebook, you know, the regulars. You can tell your story every day, all day, for every second of the day, actually. So as those tweets, as those posts come up, that's who you are. That's you telling a little bit of your story. So if they don't know who you are, they get an inside scoop of what your life is like based on what you talk about. So because of these free tools that we have stateside, and then obviously the applications and all the things that come along behind it, whether it's YouTube videos, you always have an opportunity to share your story, to create that image, to reiterate or impress upon people that you're good at this, you're the best at that. This is why you should join the bandwagon and support your story. I think that people lose sight of, you know, they get caught into the, I want 2 million hits and I want, you know, they get caught into the numbers instead of focusing on how well their story is how accurate their story is, because all people do is, you know, word of mouth is the best form of advertising. So if you tell me your story in one way, I'm going to share it with somebody else, usually in a different way. Mm-hmm. So the more accurate your story is, the farther it travels and the more accurate it will be when it gets to the its end user. At the same time, without having to spend a whole lot of marketing dollars to, you know, to advertise who you are, you can get involved in your local community, whether it's within the school or a nonprofit organization. You can get involved in a lot of little things that are free that you can do with, that reflects your strength. And as people get to know who you are on that small community level, even if it's just your neighborhood, eventually that will give you leverage for maybe Metro Atlanta, for example. Then after Metro Atlanta, then you have a, after you've proven yourself and more people know your story and they believe in your story and they share your story with other people, then you might go regional. Mm-hmm. Then after regional, national. Then after national, international. I think the exceptions to the rules with that are people who, you know, end up on Oprah or some other platform and American Idol, some of these other opportunities that give people an avenue or a huge platform to share their story.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an interesting, it sounds almost, I've heard that branding yourself is the best way to go these days because it's such a, the society's changed so much that you move from area to area, and if you just brand one business, mm-hmm. well, that's what you're known for. But if you brand yourself, you can move into different, seamlessly move around because it's yourself. But at the same time, it's also kind of a little bit dangerous, perhaps, because you change as a person as you grow mm-hmm. through your various experiences.
Absolutely. I think, and I get a lot of questions about that, where people, if they have a physical company and then they themselves, they might be a speaker, a consultant, or what have you. Do they brand the two together individually? And it really depends on where you're trying to go with your goals. So with me and consulting, I always back into what are you trying to accomplish?
Mm-hmm.
And in what time frame are you trying to accomplish it? And then how realistic is it for you to be a standalone entity? Mm-hmm. The other part of it is just really what the market demands. Because sometimes sometimes we think highly of ourselves and, you know, you're really not all of that. So you go out there and you let people know I'm X, and the market decides, well, no, we think you're Y. So you have to back in and reevaluate and say, well, that didn't really suit too well. So if you can't adjust yourself and make yourself X, then by default, you're better at maybe branding your business and pushing that along. And maybe when you get to a level where people really see you as that X, then, you know, that X factor, then you can push yourself separately. Otherwise, it's just ideal to stick with, you know, to make it two separate brands. And the people branding is what people get on a lot, I think. There's a pride factor that's in there a lot that I see, and people aren't really good about taking advice and just starting off small and being okay. You got to be humble with personal branding. It's essential for resume building, career track individuals. But when you talk about business and you're always in somebody's face saying, this is why I'm important, versus allowing the market to determine your value and say, yeah, you know, this person is really credible or talented or valuable to me in the sense that I want to put my working dollars behind them and hear more of their music or see more of them or hear their advice or whatever the case is. So be humble with the personal branding.
All right. Good point. So how does branding impact the bottom line?
Through branding, you can create a sense of value. People know your story. They know who you are. They've seen your works, your good works, the result of what you're doing, and eventually you become a high commodity, especially if you're the only one who does it or the one who does it the best. Everyone has a unique gift, skill, or talent. No person is the same, even twins. So the goal is to find your strengths and highlight those strengths, because no matter how many people are in the world, there's nobody on this planet that can do what you do the way you do it. And what's really cool about people is that there's a whole bunch of strengths and weaknesses out there, but every one person has a variety of, or a combination of it. So I might be all that in a bag of chips on the branding, marketing, and education side. So I haven't found another marketing person that has an academic, the same combination of skill sets that I have with the same experiences that I have. And that's why I'm distinctly different. And so being able to see that and make use of it and promote it is really what people need to focus on.
Okay, so we are all like little snowflakes, right? We're all original.
But when you get it under a microscope, then you see your difference and you're like, oh, okay, now that's what makes you distinctly different. And you harness those things that make you distinctly different.
Gotcha. So people versus product brands, I think we've kind of covered that in that there is a difference and you have to treat them distinctly differently. So name three branding best practices.
Number one, be consistent. Consistency will keep you out of trouble, and so will being accurate. A lot of times brands go out there, be it a person or a product, and they can't remain true to their story. And then their story shifts, and that usually creates a credibility issue and an integrity issue. It's like, well, you said this 2 years ago. And, you know, especially with some of the banks, you know, the closing downs of banks and the taking over of smaller banks and promising, hey, we're going to do this, 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 and this. And then when nobody was paying attention, they were like, well, you know, by the way, we're going to change that. And you're like, okay, that's not what you told me. Right. Why are you changing? So you want to be consistent, you want to be accurate, and then you want to be targeted, making sure that your story is consistent with the audience that is interested in it. I mean, you think of Disney and the stories they tell and how many people are interested in that story and will be willing to share this the same story. And from a sales perspective, you want to find the people that you want to duplicate your target audience or your potential target audience. And then the way to do it is to figure out the people who like your story and are willing to sell it and find more people just like them. And that will save you a lot on the sales side, not only for spending money, but lead generation and the whole process of trying to find prospects. Just find people who are just like the ones you have in the same way that they showed up, whether it's by radio, TV, internet, if you did an advertisement, word of mouth, how did you find those people to begin with? And then go find more people like that. So those are the three things.
That's interesting. I think especially with the economy being the way it is and people becoming entrepreneurial and basically a lot of consultants, coaches, that type of thing, social media specialists. And I've seen that over time on places like Facebook. Today they're a social media specialist, and you know, next year they're you know, coaching some other area, and I do pick up on those inconsistencies, and I call it the shiny object syndrome. Stay away from the shiny objects.
Right.
So what can companies do to be distinctively different without skimping on value?
Create an activity, a program, or an event that's specific to the company and that's in line with the company's short and long-term goals. For example, within what I do, and because I work with a variety of entities and organizations, I'm always being pulled on a lot. Can you do this? Can you do that? You know, can you join this organization? We want you on this. And I'm like, I don't have the time or the resources to be all over the map. So what I found to work best is to create something called the Business Development Exchange. And that is an event literally going live this Saturday, launching that in conjunction with a startup, Team Marie Concepts in Trinidad and Tobago. And what I'm doing is using all those skills and resources and partnering with a series of entities to empower other businesses to prosper and excel. That way I'm not targeting every single person or expensing time on, you know, one organization. All organizations are working together, and everybody's getting something out of it. More importantly, they're getting empowered through that consulting, through that marketing advice and counsel. And then because it's an event that other people are participating in, they also now have a target audience that is empowered as well. So it's sort of like a ripple effect without me going and spending tons of money or, you know, seeking a whole lot of prospects and doing this repeatedly one after the other. I'm actually able to involve other people and engage with other people and then reach across borders to empower other people. So if you have an event or an activity or something that is supports your vision and your mission, that is reflective of your company's product, you know, a good or a service, then tie that into what you're doing and your plan. So you're kind of working in tandem. I'm not going outside of my norm necessarily. I'm doing something different, but it's not so far out of my norm that I literally have to expend time and effort to get it to happen.
Okay, so see if you can plug in with others.
Absolutely, and be mindful of that, because some people take shortcuts and say, okay, well, so-and-so, the YMCA, whomever is doing X and such, so I'm just going to jump behind them and maybe donate food. And it's like, no, but that's the YMCA's brand. Or United Way is really good about having a whole lot of events and activities and such, but that's their brand. You have to have something. You think about the United Negro College Fund, that, you know, they have this annual, even when I think it's Jerry Lewis used to have his fund that was his, that was uniquely and distinctly his own, so everybody remembered it. So it's okay to tie in with other people, but then you find yourself pulling away from your story to support somebody else's story, which is fine if it's relevant. At the same time, if we're talking about branding and being memorable, you want to make sure that people know who you are and that that event is specific to your organization, so people will remember the Business Development Exchange is something that Epic Measures launched in 2011, and, you know, we've done it with an entity in South Africa, and then Trinidad, Black Sheep Barbering Limited, and then now we're doing it with the Teamery Concepts in Trinidad.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah. Good for you.
Thank you.
You have a lot of energy.
Yeah. And I want to conserve that energy for a long time, so that's another reason why I say find something that's targeted and specific to your company, and, you know, you have a little longer shelf life going that direction than if you would if you spread yourself too thin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good advice. Good advice. So you referenced that brand is a noun and brand is a verb. Do you want to talk about that?
Noun is the name of a person, place, or thing. And that's literally what a brand is. What is your name? What is your, if it is a person, you know, or thing, what is that? And then that's the story that you build out. So when I talk to people about their brands, I'm looking for those names. I'm looking for those associations and things that reflect that brand. So that story is created, and that story then is referred to a graphic person who actually puts that story in image form. But at the same time, branding is an action. You have to do branding. It's not just, okay, here's the image. Now that you have the image and the story, you know, if we go back to what was branding initially, somebody had to go out and seal that image on that cattle. Mm-hmm. So now you have to go out and seal that image on people's minds. And traditionally that has been cost millions of dollars. I mean, a radio spot or a TV billboards and other types of advertising, it's like, that's a lot of money. People don't have that if they're smaller micro enterprises. But you can do that in an effective way. I mean, just be having an opportunity to be heard or be seen in a way that doesn't cost you money, or for you to be able to build that word of mouth fan base, you know, mm-hmm. that social media allows people to create, you know. And if you are that genuine, accurate, consistent, targeted person, it'll happen faster, slower, or at least that your roots would be deeper, mm-hmm. you know, and then you can kind of pull yourself up and build on that foundation because it's been sure. Mm-hmm. So yeah. it's a story. That's the image, but then it's also an action.
Absolutely. Nothing happens until you do, right?
Absolutely.
Well, and that's the fascinating thing about society today with the internet and mm-hmm. the social media is like, you can literally brand yourself, unlike in prior decades.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to shift into the person mode here, and I want to ask you what your X factor is. What makes you unique?
To be able to effectively network resources together in a way that people exchange weaknesses for strengths. And that's how I define empowerment. A lot of times people say, you know, I'll give you money, I'll give you time, I'll give you resources. It's no different from when you see somebody homeless on the street and you just kind of give them that dollar just to get them on their way, but you haven't really empowered them. You haven't, there's that phrase about teaching a man how to fish. So in this way, I'm looking at strengths, and this comes from my teaching background, because you always had to analyze students to see where their strengths were. We always had to teach to an objective, and whatever was missing, you had to fill it in as an instructor to tutor them to get them to that point where they had no more weaknesses. That as a student, they were strong enough to take that graduation test and, you know, in history, math, science, because that, you know, that's how people are. You talk about uniqueness. Not everybody's going to be strong in math, science, and et cetera. So wherever everybody has a weakness, but the goal is to find somebody who has a strength where you're weak. And that doesn't necessarily happen in a lot of the exchanges that I see where people analyze effectively, you know, and then say, okay, well, you have a resource and this person has a need. But sometimes you're giving to your detriment. You know, you're always giving down or over up. And it's like, well, you know, I'm tired of giving. You know, at some point you want to see that person become strong. You know, and that would always be my passion when I saw kids graduate. It's like, wow, we went through a lot with that one. Mm-hmm. But to be able to see them rise to the occasion and graduate, you know, you're just like, oh, thank you. You know, so that's what I kind of duplicate with my process on the consultant side, is to see where the strengths are and see where the weaknesses are, deal with the weaknesses and find someone to fill that gap, that weakness. But at the same time, that person who's filling the weakness is getting strong as well. Mm-hmm. And then everybody kind of comes up together. Mm-hmm. So that's my X factor, is to be able to effectively network people together in a way that they can exchange weaknesses for strength.
That's wonderful. That's what really needs to happen to be successful in life, because mm-hmm. you can't do it all.
No.
You play to your strengths.
Not a one man or a woman show.
No, not at all. So what final thought, piece of advice would you give to listeners just in life in general to go along with your X factor tip?
Number one, set attainable goals. I think because, especially in the United States, and I say this because I told people in the other countries, South Africa and Trinidad, to listen in. We are always running, you know, and competing with each other. And because there's so much opportunity here and there's so much talent here, you're always fighting to be, you know, the next or the best or the whatever. The challenge with that is that you're setting or aligning your goals with somebody else. And so that would be the second thing, is not to set or base your success on somebody else's success, because you can't reach their goals. That's not going to happen. So if you don't do that, then you're focused on attainable goals, which relate to who you are as a person, your natural strengths, your abilities, and with the resources that you have, being able to take the next step up and continue to move forward. Is life is that stepping stone situation. And if you try to skip those steps, then you fall down and hurt yourself. And, you know, then you end up starting over, whatever the case is. So goals need to be attainable, and they don't need to be set or derived based on somebody else's success.
Right. And they don't have to be perfect.
Nope. Absolutely.
Just try and correct. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I'd like to give you the opportunity to share with listeners to learn more about your business.
Okay.
And go ahead and give them your website name.
For Brand Marketing Consulting, please contact or go to the website for Epic Measures, www.epicmeasures.com. That's www.epicmeasures.com. And if you just like me, talking about separate brands, EshaEdwards.com is my personal website that's geared towards consulting, instructing, and teaching. So when I'm not consulting on the marketing side, I'm doing teaching classes and speaking for individuals and organizations.
Okay, and Esha's
I-S-H-A. Yes, thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
You were wonderful.
Thank you.
Guess what, Georgia? Recycling just got easier thanks to the team at Waste Pro. Whether it's tossing items into your curbside container at home, being environmentally friendly at the workplace, or properly disposing of your recyclables while at local events, Waste Pro can serve all your recycling collection and processing needs. Waste Pro also provides residential and commercial solid waste collection, processing, and disposal. Waste Pro cares for the communities we serve and truly are the waste professionals. Call us in Athens at 706-227-3222 or in Atlanta at 770-777-1447.